This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
Yo, you are in the right place at the right time, listening to the right thing. Tech Webcast. Congratulations on choosing such an awesome thing to listen to. You are clearly very smart. You're into tech stuff. You love hearing Brad and Jason and their guests chat. And you're probably really good looking too. Well done. So let's get into it. The weekly tech extravaganza that is Tech Webcast. In 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to episode 193 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on Saturday, the 16th of June, 2012. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday nights at 7. Today's hosts, Brad, Stephen, Jason and Jody, and our guest is Pratt from Circle App. How you doing, Brad?
Hey, Jason. How are you, mate?
Not too bad. It's pouring down here as it has been for most of the week.
Really?
I was lucky. I got up early, well, early-ish for a weekend at like 8 o'clock, and then went for a jog for 4 kilometres. And then now it's been raining ever since then, so I was lucky to get that in.
We should be in Melbourne right now, mate. The sun's out.
Yeah?
It is.
Maybe one day I'll get down there.
Yeah, one day. What's been happening, mate? What have you been up to the past, last time we spoke?
I upgraded my phone to a new version of an operating system that I'm probably
OS
not supposed
6.
To talk
can't
about too
wait.
Much.
Can't wait to get my hands on that. I've got so many cool things to say about that. It's not funny.
I have to wait till they iron out some bugs. There's some annoying stuff on there.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay. Cool.
I've heard some bad things about the map. How's the map?
Yeah, the map isn't that great. I like the other one where you could spin your device around and see which way you're facing. Last night I went out to meet up with some other developers at their headquarters at North Sydney, and then I went to find the North Sydney train station again and went, you know, round and round the blocks and stuff and couldn't find out which way I was facing to which way to go, and took me forever. I still got there in time for the train. I left with like 35 minutes to spare and ended up getting there about 10 minutes before the train arrives.
All right,
but,
cool.
They
mate.
Don't have a lot of the flyover stuff for most of Australia yet. I guess that's still coming.
Yep.
I got a nice new world clock for iPad. You've probably seen photos of that.
Yep.
And
what about Siri? Have you tried Siri yet since it's been updated? Or
yeah, Siri seems to work okay-ish. I mean, she can find all of the important things, like Siri, tell me where the local police station or train station is. But
nice.
If you search for a supermarket or mall or restaurant in the area, she's just like, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
At least it's better than, you're not in America, so screw you, hippie.
Yep, better than nothing, I suppose. It's a good update, that. Good update. Can't wait to use it. Anything else, Jason, been up to, mate? Any other things?
No, I tried seeing if I can get Apple to approve our app update again.
Mm-hmm.
Fingers crossed, see what happens, you know.
Okay.
They're not keen on doing things that make sense, so
Yeah, definitely. And also got Jody on. Hey, Jody.
Hey, how you doing?
Going well. And also got Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, buddy? How's your phone going?
Actually, now that you mention it, about a couple of days ago, it's like my 4G or 3G wouldn't work.
Wow.
And I couldn't make phone calls, so
that sucks.
I tried a few things. I shut it all the way down and started back up, and then, you know, it worked. And I had to do that like 3 times, and then
whoa.
I actually called Apple, and, you know, and then I got it to work after I restarted it. Today, the last couple of days, it worked fine. So I don't know. It was an AT&T thing, I think.
Might be, yeah. Yeah, and Jody, what's the story with this lunch lady?
Well, there was a story in the UK where a girl had a blog, a school student had a blog where she was posting the daily lunch.
Like 9 or something.
Yeah, that. Yeah, she's 9, yeah.
Yeah, and during the Chris Voss show, we were talking about this, the fact that the school decided that it became viral and they were getting a lot of negative comments, let's say, about the food it was being rated on several factors, and not the least of which was whether there was hair in it or not. And they told the girl she had to shut down her blog. So,
wow.
Yeah, I think it was the council who did that. The school said they were supportive, but the council, they said it was all shut down by politicians. Said,
yeah, it was a government.
Shut up, stop telling everybody the food at the school is crap. Just eat what we give you and be grateful or something. I don't know.
Yeah, eat it and shut up.
But yeah, that's just what getting photos from kids in schools all over the world, and people were donating, and she was having them, she was sending the money to a charity that provides food for kids that don't have any food and stuff like that. So it was really important stuff, but yeah, they didn't like the bad publicity for how they treat their kids, so they said, you're shut down, kiddo.
All right. Well, let's get into the news then. Jason, what's been happening? News? Sure. News.
Ruslan Kurgan is the wiliest e-tailer, not only famous for having made Jerry Harvey look like a retail dino whiner, but for true e-tail innovation, with Kurgan again showing just how adept he is at generating global publicity, by this time implementing a 6.8% Internet Explorer 7 tax. Forget the unavoidable carbon tax, courtesy of Australian Prime Minister Julia Gillard. Australians who purchase from Kurgan and who use IE7 are going to be taxed at a rate of 6.8% for using the browser. However, unlike the unavoidable carbon tax from Australia's federal government, Kurgan.com.au's tax is entirely unavoidable. All you need to do is either use a different browser than IE7, such as Chrome, Firefox, Opera, or Safari, or if you insist on IE, then upgrade to IE 8, 9, or even the preview version of IE 10, also found within the Windows 8 Preview Edition. And for folks overseas who don't really know Kurgan, he's like a middleman type online only retail store where you can buy things directly from him and his warehouses. He doesn't have any brick and mortar stores. It's all done from the warehouse and gets shipped straight to you. And in fact, you can buy products that are upcoming even before they're available in his shop at a discount rate, and as the time gets closer and closer to, I think they call it live price.
Yep.
As the time gets closer to the actual release date of the physical product being in his store, it gets more expensive. So if you want to place your bets and hope that the product is going to be real good, he gets just generic brands from China and then mass retails them using his online website. So he's been known for a few stunts, and this is the latest one. To get a bit of publicity anyway. Yeah. The Wall Street Journal have confirmed recent rumors of a Microsoft acquisition of Yammer. The price for the private social network for business is reported to be $1 billion US. Apparently a cool 1B is the hot price right now after we recently seen Facebook pay about the same for Instagram. Acquiring Yammer will assist Microsoft in bolstering its communication platforms like Link and Skype, and will likely integrate Yammer into existing business collaboration platforms like Office 365 and SharePoint. Yammer has already worked with Microsoft to implement dynamic CRM integration. Yammer launched back in 2008 and has grown quickly to now be used inside more than 200,000 companies. Centrelink says it is cracking down on people who are receiving benefits and simultaneously making large profits on the trading website eBay. The agency has asked the website to reveal the identities of about 15,000 people who have sold more than $20,000 worth of goods in 1 year. The head of Centrelink, Hank Jongen, says that many people have declared the money legally, and he says the agency is not targeting those who use the website as a hobby, but he says the government wants to make sure the system is not being abused. And fearful of the future, Europeans are moving their money out of the banks and dumping it into safe havens such as US Treasuries, Government of Canada bonds, and apparently the virtual currency Bitcoin. European volume has been skyrocketing, says Charlie Schrem, chief executive of BitInstant LLC, a company in New York that enables clients to transfer funds between Bitcoin and US and Canadian dollars, British pounds, euros, and other major currencies. According to Mr. Schrem, the sudden rise has been driven by people in countries like Greece, Italy, and Spain, and even the Netherlands, anxious to protect their savings. We're getting requests from people literally saying, can we mail you euros? We can't do that legally, but they keep asking. Why is Bitcoin caught up in the frenzy? The darling of techies, hipsters, and increasingly currency traders, it was created back in 2009 as an internet-only currency regulated by a network algorithm. Traditional currencies, the thinking went, are cumbersome and expensive to use in online transactions. Every time a purchase is made, fees must be paid to a bank or credit card company. Costs are even more onerous when one currency is converted to another. Bitcoin saved these problems and others as well, since it operates outside a payment system operated by the banks. More importantly, it's not under the control of any central bank or government. In fact, the supply of Bitcoins is controlled by an algorithm. At a time when governments around the world are pumping massive amounts of so-called fiscal stimulus into the economy, potentially setting the stage for untold inflation down the road, it's not surprising that Bitcoin is suddenly attracting a lot of attention, as are other digital currencies. For fans of the currency, it's hard to imagine a better way to shelter your savings from ravages of the gales that are blowing through the global financial markets. And that's the news for today.
Good news, Jason. Good news. Now, before the show, I said to you we're having someone on in August, a big name.
Big name coming up.
Techzilla, by a guy the name of Patrick Norton, is going to be on.
Awesome.
And great stuff. I got a reply back from him yesterday saying he wants to be on, so he's going to be on in sometime in August, so good stuff.
Yeah, I think he used to work with Leo back in Screensavers days or something.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
It'll be great to have him on the show. I look forward to that one.
Yeah, can't wait. It's going to be a great episode, that one. And it's good.
Pratt from the Circle app.
Yes, we do. Hey, Pratt.
Yeah.
How are you, mate?
Hi.
What is Circle? Tell us all about it.
All right. So Circle is a real-time location-based app that helps you find people, your friends, and your networks nearby. That's in the shortest way possible.
Yep.
That's it, you know.
All right.
Do download it, because one of the things we really focused on when making it was to give a very, very good experience. You know, you really focus on the interface and to make it a beautiful app that you share with people, that has a good quality thing that you actually keep on your phone and invite your friends on it.
Right, right. What's the difference between this app and Highlight?
So a few big things. One of the biggest things is we don't consume as much battery.
Okay.
So that was a huge thing, you know. We wanted to give the best possible experience, and we realized with Highlight, and we have been working on this before even Highlight came out, actually. But, you know, one of the things was we need to try and not consume as much battery power, because you can't leave Highlight on your phone.
Mm.
You realize it drains the battery very quickly. We don't do that. Some of the other things is we limit your network to the people who you're really connected with.
Right.
So how it does that is you can see the people who are around you, who are part of your professional network or some kind of college or something, some kind of passion that you share with them. You know, we'll be launching some public groups soon, and you'll be able to join those. So what it does is it really focuses on helping you interact with people who you, you know, who you really have some kind of potentially intimate thing to talk about, you know,
right, yeah.
Some kind of very strong connection.
Yeah, yeah. So I was actually.
Does it know your friends? Does it? Do you log in through Facebook and get a list of people there, or Twitter, or something?
So currently, yes, we have only Facebook login. We are planning on potentially introducing other kinds of logins as well.
Okay, and then once you've started up the app and you log in with Facebook, then you move your friends using the app into different group networks?
No. So everybody who's – so we use the network information from the Facebook. So we get all of that information imported. So it's right, you know, you just – Facebook is like your passport. So the moment you log in with your Facebook, it takes all the information that it has to. You know, say I'm from Nepal. That's where I was born. It immediately absorbs that I'm from Nepal and connects me to the people who are from Nepal and in the Bay Area, since I'm in the Bay Area right now. You know, I'm a part of some other networks, say my high school, my college network. You know, I was able to meet a lot of people from my college using the app. So, you know, things like that.
So the idea is log into Facebook first and set up all of the groups that people are going to be in before you start up the app, and then it'll automatically put everybody in there and start looking for them.
Exactly. So all you need is Facebook, and it takes care of the rest of the experience.
I see you've got a lot of privacy controls on there for who can see you and what areas and that sort of thing. I think that's important for Jody, for instance.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. Jody, how has your experience been? Have you got a chance to use the app?
I think the reason that Jason specifically mentioned me is because I have a situation where a person that I had a very short-term relationship with has decided to stalk me through Facebook. And although I have him specifically blocked, I don't know who, but somebody is sharing my information. So I am actually afraid to utilize something like this. And so I think that's why Jason mentioned the privacy in regard to my situation.
I think it's great for, you know, a lot of these things, particularly everybody's worried about Facebook not having privacy or enough strict control, or it's very convoluted on how you can do the privacy, and it looks with your app to be a very simple way of categorizing people to see, let them see who can see you in different places and that sort of thing. And your I can see even your relationship status, you can block that from people seeing it if you want to.
Yes. You know, privacy, thank you for mentioning that. Privacy is extremely big. You know, it all forms a part of the experience. It was really important for us to make privacy very easy. So if you go onto a network, you know, when you go to your profile, you can easily, just with a click, make yourself invisible to certain networks and certain people. So unlike Facebook, where, you know, to go through massive amounts of settings, etc., it's we made it very, very simple. And that was one of the big focuses, because there were, you know, especially women, you know, tend to get stalked by many more people than men, generally because of the ratio on our app currently. So what we did was we really tried to protect everybody in terms of privacy, in terms of who really can message them.
And I think that's important, and I think that's smart.
Thank you.
I think that would encourage a lot more people to use this kind of app. Now, is all the managing of this kind of thing, is that all done in the app, or is there a website login where you can log on and move people around from groups and set the settings?
Everything's done on the app, and it's extremely, extremely easy to do things in the app. So we did not... We so far have not put any kind of web content on. You can join different groups using, you know, our web pages, etc. Yep. But that's as much as we have done.
Right. So if I do changes to groups and add people on Facebook, does that automatically update in the app later on when I start it up?
Yes, it does.
Right. Oh, that's very handy. And I can see there's an inbox there, so people can send you private messages and things as well.
Exactly, yeah. So the point is, you know, you see people around you, and these are, suppose somebody's connected to you, you know, somebody else listens to this podcast as well, and that's how you connect with them. You know, you'll have your own network. And what happens is, you know, you can say hi, and if the person wants to respond, they can, you know, start chatting with you. And imagine, like, for you, it'll be like meeting a fan almost, or somebody who really listens to the podcast all the time. So that's the kind of connection we want to make happen, or two people who listen to the podcast. Now, right now, they might be in different places. You know, they might be next to each other, but they'd never know that. Well, now with the app, you know, they actually know that, and they can connect with each other. They have this something, you know, strong sort of a connection between each other. And that's kind of what we try to reveal and help people connect.
Yes, yeah, being more social is being more important these days, and finding new ways of connecting people is very important as well. I see it's on iPhone and Android, so it's cross-platform. If somebody is nearby me and they've got an Android and I've got an iPhone, we should be able to communicate still?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So it'll be completely cross-platform. There will be no friction in terms of that, which is a hard thing to do and to get completely right, which is why we've been testing our Android app for a while now. And if you guys want, if anybody has an Android, we'd be happy to send you a testing model, like an APK.
Sure. Well, there you go, people. So what's the email so they can contact you on that, Pratt, so people can get a hold of that Android app for testing?
Just pratt@serviceup.com.
Okay. All right. And what's coming up with the app, mate? Now, you mentioned a big update coming. You can't mention that. What sort of designs and that sort of thing? Can you mention that or not? I want you to, but you can't.
Overall of the design. It will change significantly and make even more beautiful.
Nice. Can't wait to see it. Jody, question?
It's very aesthetically pleasing. You know, everything's laid out very nicely and very clear and easy to read.
Looks very nice. Jody, what's your thought on this app and questions for Pratt?
Well, I think that it's a great idea. And I think that, you know, with most normal situations, to be able to see where somebody is and be able to connect that way is ideal. I guess, Pratt, my question would be, specifically if you wanted to hide, is there's a way to do that so that, you, like, if let's say for whatever reason you want to disappear for a little bit, you don't want people to know where you are, is it possible to turn that off?
It's very easy. If you go to your profile and there's privacy settings, you can just go on visibility and you're invisible till the next time you come to the app and you make yourself visible again.
Awesome.
It's very simple to go invisible and into hiding, you know, wherever you're visiting or if you don't want to be seen, which happens to you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hide and yet see where other people are?
I mean, you want to encourage it, but yes, you can still see when people are around you. So you can be invisible and know who else is around you.
Interesting. Cool.
Yeah, very cool. Pratt, so how many users do you have on the app at the moment? How many downloads and that sort of thing?
So you are around 90,000 people, 9,000 users.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good one.
Which
good
is one. 2 months in. And we're getting users quickly, and we expect there to be a huge burst with Android release.
Cool. Now, what about when we reckon we'll see the next update? How many months before we see the next update?
The iPhone update might take a while. Like I said, it's going to be a major design. We're testing a lot of different things. We have a very good team here.
Mm. How many work there?
So it keeps increasing, to be honest. We keep having more interns and more people working here. We have 9 people right now, which includes 6 devs and 3 biz people.
Cool.
And we'll be getting more people very soon.
Good stuff. All right, Steve, questions for Pratt?
Well, it's more of a statement. When I checked out the app, and of course I made the app review demo, I like a well-designed app, make it simple, make it easy to use, and then maybe add some features later on. What was your idea behind the app to do it that way, or just, you know, turned out that way, or what?
No, it was extremely important for us to make the app very, very simple to use, and, you know, we really even, so we actually, the app had many more functions, and it was much more, but we reduced it. We reduced it to its almost the lowest common denominator to make it as simple as possible. So that was extremely huge focus because we knew that forms a big part of the experience.
Okay.
All right, good stuff. So, Jason, you reckon you'll be using this app anytime soon? Or you'll...
Yeah, I'll give it a go and see who's in the area.
Yeah, it's a really good app. Good to see who's in the area.
How long has the app been in publish?
2 months.
2 months. And you've got that many users already? That's pretty good. Have you had a lot of publicity with other websites and companies?
So the blogs caught on to it pretty well, and we got extremely good feedback, especially from TechCrunch some of the other blogs. So that was a huge part of it. We have had a lot of big brands approach us, for potential stuff in the future. But right now we're keeping all of that away. It's very important for us to just make this a very user-based platform and just help users interact.
Definitely.
And what kind of is this all just programmed with Xcode, or do you use an SDK?
We use an SDK. Yeah, we use an SDK. Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right.
And for those of us who have no idea, what does that mean? What the heck?
The software development kit that that lets you easily program something. Like, I use the one from Corona Labs called Corona. We had the old CEO on the show last year, I think it was Carlos Icaza, and that one lets you program in Lua, which is much easier than the default Xcode that people use to create applications. So if you use an SDK, it can make things easier and quicker to program.
So, Pratt, any ideas when you reckon it'll be coming on the iPad at any time soon, or is this going to stick with the iPhone and Android?
I believe it can be used on the iPad as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, will it be designed for the iPad and to make it more look better?
Universal?
On the, yeah, universal, yeah.
That was big focuses right now. Yeah, it's just more, so it's just, yeah, iPhone and Android, and that's what we're primarily supporting. Of course, we support all iOS devices, but yeah.
His internet must be bad.
Yeah, going in and out.
But so you there, Pratt, or not? You will. So we just keep going. Pratt, are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, your internet's probably not, mate, really bad. So where can they get the app from and download it from iTunes? I'll take it, it's free on iTunes?
Free on iTunes, yes.
On iTunes, all right. Okay, any last words before we go, Jason, for Pratt? We'll keep going.
Thanks for having you on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Pratt, for being on, mate. We'll download the app. I've got it, I love it. And Jody,
you're trying it out.
Yeah.
Download it. It's called Circle. You know, you can easily go to the iTunes App Store, call it Circle. You'll find the design logo, and please download it. And any feedback you have, feel free to give it. The CEO will probably contact you directly for feedback as well.
Cool.
And, yeah.
I have 64 people in my network.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, it's good. And,
good for you.
And I'm chanting away them as we speak.
Is this what they say? Good on you?
Yeah.
Good on you, mate.
Good on you, mate. All right, thanks, Pratt, for being on, mate. Appreciate it. Steve, anyone want to say anything to word to Pratt before you go, mate?
Could you say your email?
Oh, the email. Yeah, the email. Yeah, what's the email?
For wanting to know.
Yeah, email.
Just my first name, Pratt, at discovercircle.com.
Discovercircle.com. That's the last. It's Pratt at circle.
No,
discovercircle.com.
Pratt at discovercircle.com.
Are they on Twitter as well?
On Twitter, it's Circle App.
All right.
And Google Plus? Is anybody on Google Plus anymore?
I don't know what's going on Google Plus. People leaving and like drop.
Is that an echo chamber now, Jody?
No, it's not an echo chamber. Come on.
Sure.
All right, Pratt, thanks for being on, mate. So can we find your personal Twitter at all?
Feel free to add Circle App on Twitter or me, Prattpreneur, anything. Yep. You know, add back in.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it. You're a legend. Thanks, mate. Thanks for coming on and taking your time and being on the show.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. And I really enjoyed it. You know, you guys have a great show. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Right.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Pratt.
Yeah, I had one of my friends say on Twitter the other day, hey, you remember that Google Plus thing? Wasn't that all right for a while? Yeah.
That's fun.
Oh, come on.
Good times. Yeah.
People are leaving Google Plus. Some leave. I'm seeing less Hangouts all the time. And yeah, I don't know what's going on. But,
that's interesting. Where do you think they're going?
Probably to Airtime.
Facebook.
Which is another fail website already, because I used that the other day and it's not working.
Nobody there.
I don't see that taking on anyway.
Yeah,
and nobody's using social. Are you guys using social at all?
That sucks. I don't use
the
it.
What?
I tried using Air. What is that?
Airtime?
Airtime. Yeah. I can't get it to work at all.
Really?
Yeah, I logged in using Facebook, and after that, I click the button's grayed out. It doesn't like me. I don't know. Strange.
Well.
So, so what else has been? The keynote was last week, Jason. So, what's your favorite feature so far on iOS 6 so far, mate?
Well, I think it's great that Siri's now working in Australia. Also, they've added on 10 extra languages. A couple of guys I work with are Chinese, so they tried it out. Seemed to work quite well. Less so with Japanese, though. Couldn't seem to understand that quite as well. But they said it works very nicely with their Chinese language, so they're very happy about that.
Definitely, and also Siri's coming on the iPad, which I can't wait to use.
Not mine.
Not yours?
No, okay. Mine's Wi-Fi only. They won't allow Siri on that.
But still, you can still use Siri
now.
You
might try and use it where there's no Wi-Fi, and then it wouldn't work, and that would be terrible, rather than letting people use
it
when they know they do have Wi-Fi.
One thing about Siri, with the updates coming out soon, which we can use, look for restaurants and that sort of stuff now, which has been good. They've updated that.
Yeah, they're mixing it in with Yelp and all those kind of things. So hopefully that'll be a lot better soon.
That's going to be great. And also the new MacBook Pros are coming out, Jason, as well, mate.
Yeah, I was hoping that they were going to have a MacBook Air with Retina. That would have been nice, but too tempting. So I'm glad they didn't release it.
So you didn't get one?
Save my money.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But there's even a rumor I've been reading the last couple of days in news on Twitter that MacBook Pro 13-inch Retina rumored to be coming out in October, even though it was not announced at WWDC. So
wow.
It might even have a small one. You know, mine's 3 years old, and that's usually when people start upgrading to the next version after about 3 years, you know. So maybe, I don't know. Depends on how much I could get for this one, I guess.
Yeah. What do they sell for secondhand now?
Not a clue. I would have to eBay it or something.
All right. What about you, Steve? What's your view on the iOS 6 and the MacBook Pro and stuff? Before we go.
I'm trying to absorb it because they still even though they released it, a couple of days later, they're still releasing small things that didn't make it into the keynote. I'm like, geez, I'm trying to keep track of it all. It's really hard.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming out.
And what about you, JD? What's your view on the OS X and the keynote thing?
I think it's fascinating that Apple is somewhat, divorcing itself from Google.
Yeah. Google pissed off Steve.
But, you know, it's interesting. And the Facebook integration, I don't know that I necessarily agree that that's the way to go. And also, it's kind of funny. My daughter, you know, you think about kids, and they're really the ones who are fueling the adoption of technology. She's 18, so she's, you know, at that age where they're kind of knowledgeable, and yet, you know, they're not knowledgeable. In any case, the rumor going around her groups of friends is that the new MacBook is not a good product and that it has to do with the way that the construction is done and something to do with the parts and the battery. I'm not sure, but
Nothing is upgradable because everything is soldered directly onto the motherboard. So if you buy a 4 gig MacBook Pro with Retina, then you're stuck with that forever. There's no way you can get an upgrade to 8 gig in the future. That's scaring a lot of people off.
That's not upgradable either.
It has to do with the size, because to reduce the size, they had to do certain things, because if they put like removable RAM, the holders to hold the RAM in place, that would have put in, you know,
made
more
bigger, yeah,
bigger, made the, you know, the MacBook Air bigger. So they had to do some things. So it's kind of like, you know, to reduce the size, you're going to have to do, you know, there's going to be trade-offs. So.
Well, and interestingly enough, I mean, because that seed generation is really what's fueling adoption of technology. And if the word on the street is, hey, this is not a good product, that makes you wonder what the opportunity is moving forward for adoption and, you know, whether this new generation of Apple products is going to take off or whether they're going to have to go back to maybe a different standard. So for what that's worth, that's what the kids are talking about. So
I think the kids are right.
I did see iFixit's review where they pulled apart the new Retina display one and all of that. I'm surprised the kids had picked up on it so fast, though. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
They're pretty cluey.
Yeah, they are. Very smart, these kids. Lucky they don't.
Yeah. Get off my lawn.
Aren't you meddling?
These kids, you know, with their Apple MacBook Pros and their laptops and iPads and stuff.
When I was their age, I had to walk uphill to school both ways. In the snow.
My bare feet.
Luxury. Right. I had to get up at 10 o'clock at night, half an hour before I went to bed, drink a cup of sulfuric acid, work down the mill 27 hours a day and pay me a loan for permission to come work. And when we got home, our mum and dad would kill us and dance about on our grave singing hallelujah.
And, you know, we didn't have those computer things.
No. My first one was when I was 12. I got a Dick Smith VZ200 with 4K of RAM and four colors on the screen.
Well, even when I was in high school, they had a computer club, and they still had like the 5.4-inch floppies, you know, the
flexible. 5 1/4 inch.
Yeah, 5 1/4.
We had cards. You had to like punch little things onto them and then slide them into the
doohickey. We had rocks and a chisel and a hammer. And
we had beads on an abacus.
Oh, wow. You're a high-tech one.
We have to
just have some Asian in there somewhere. What's that, Steve?
I said we had to paint paintings just to snap a photograph.
Oh, yeah. On the cave wall, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's wrap the show up. Jason, any last word before we go, mate? With Twitter and Facebook and that type of stuff?
You can find me on the interwebs at bluebilby.com and Twitter, Warlock, WAULOK.
And myself, Brad Oz and Tech Webcast, Steve. Making the fun you.
And find me on justin.tv/LinuxCoolDude, where you can also see the Tech Webcast live version, as long as with Twitter as Chatterbox_live.
And the lunch lady, where can they find you?
Lunch lady Doris.
Here. No lunch lady here. So you can find me on Twitter as sunswept, or find me at my website, webmarcom.net, and everywhere else, including here, and sometimes on the Chris Voss Show as Jody Rains.
Yeah, and lunch lady. All right, thanks for being on, guy. That was funny.
What's on the menu for next week? No, I'm just kidding.
We have someone Rural. From, yeah.
For you.
Yeah, for you, Steve. All right, thanks, guys, for being on.
See you next week.
Steve, you lost the game.
Not really. I never was playing.
Yeah, you were.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads. Join Will, Eric, and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. Weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechhead.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest-running Tech News Podcast.
Well, that's it for Tech Webcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed having your mind expanded. Tune in next week for more Tech Talk with Brad, Jason, and whatever crazy guest they've managed to rope in. Don't forget to get the Tech Webcast app from iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and of course, check us out on Facebook too. Until next time, may the tech be with you. Peace!